The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This is the truma which you should take from him. Zohar kesef and achoshes, gold, silver, copper, scales. This was a wool which was dyed, a bluish green, was dyed with the blood of a certain creature which is called the chalozin. The chalozin is either a creature that lived in the sea or a creature that lived deep in the ground. And it would come up once every 70 years. And they knew how to catch it. The argomon, this was a wool which was dyed purple with salashoni. This is a wool which was dyed scarlet. This also was either from a seed or from a certain insect. The sheish, the izim, sheish is linen and izim is goatskin. Eres elim ma'odomi, skins which come from rams which were dyed red. Oris tekoshim, skins which were from the tekoshim. The tekoshim were a certain animal which was made of many colors, had a coat of many colors. And the Targum brings that his name was Saskavna. Targum brings in this posuk Saskavna. Saskavna means Sos begavonim shalai. He was very happy. He rejoiced because of his coat of many colors. And he was created particularly for the Mishkan, for the building of this Mishkan. And after the building of the Mishkan, then he became extinct. This was the Koshim, the Asi Shittim, and cedarwood. Shemen Lamor, oil for the for light, the Samim the Shemen Mishkan, perfumes and scents for the Shemen, for the oil which was used to anoint the necessities of the Mishkan, the Teres HaSamim, and also scents and perfumes that were used for the Teres HaSamim for the burning incense. Avnei Shechem, Avnei Milim, Eifer VeLachesh. Stones, precious stones that were known as an Avnei Shoham, Avnei Milim, and other types of precious stones which were going to be used for the Eifot and the Choshen. The Eifot was the cloak of the outer garment, turned up with the high priest, and the fellowship with the breastplate. Altogether, Rashi tells us there were 13 things mentioned here. What should we do with all of this? Well, also in Migdosh, you shall make for me a sanctuary, a shochanti b'seichon, a beis hamikdash, that I may dwell within you. Kekol asher ani mara eischo, estavnis hamishka, estavnis kol kelo, v'chein tasu. All that I shall show you, how to make the mishkan, and how to make all of its various vessels. The chayin tasu, and so shall you do. And from here the Chazal learned, the chayin tasu, so shall you do, the various generations. That if this Mishkan has to be rebuilt, or if any of the vessels have to be rebuilt, so they must be rebuilt in this manner. And then the Torah goes into great detail, and actually the next five sefers, Shumat, Tzadot, Sisa, Vayakut, Tikudei, either all of those sefers or portions of those sefers will be devoted to the building of the Mishkan and the garments of the Kohen Gadol and the various services of the Mishkan. So the Mishkan, as we see, that the Torah is devoted 4 or 5 sefers to it, besides the next sefer by Yikra, which mainly occupies itself with korbanos, with sacrifices. So we see this was a major area in Jewish life. In our Sefer, then the Torah tells us of the various vessels that should be built and how the Mishkan should be built. It starts with the Oren, but also Oren Asher Shittim. You should make the Oren out of cedar wood. Now the Oren was the Ark, and this was to be made from Asher Shittim, from cedar wood, and then it was to be covered with gold. And it was the inside of it also was to make it made of gold. And Rashi tells us Bezalel. Bezalel was the chief designer of the Malachis HaMishkan. So he made 3 arrays, 3 arcs. He made one of gold and one of wood, another of gold. The wood ones were placed inside of the gold, and then the gold ones were placed inside of the wood, and he overlaid it all with gold. And then he fulfilled what the Torah said, that the aron should be made of wood and covered from the inside and the outside with gold. And then there were the kruvim, the kaporis. Now the kaporis was a gold piece made of pure gold, which came over the top of the aron hakodesh. And from the kaporis, from this gold, were beaten out the kruvim. Kruvim were two images. They were images of little angels that had wings, but they had faces of children. And the wings went above them, themselves. The wings were extended, and they faced each other. This was the kruvim. This was the kaporis. And then the Torah tells us that we should take the luchos habris, the commandments, and place them in the aron hakodesh. The Gemara tells us that actually the Sefer Torah that Moshe wrote, when he went up on Har Sinai and he came down, he wrote the Sefer Torah. That Sefer Torah was placed in the aron. And the luchos, the Ten Commandments he received, and the Shivrei luchos, and the broken commandments, these were all placed in the aron. Torah tells us that we should make a shulchan, a table. And this was for the purpose of the lechem haponim. Every week there were breads brought. 12 breads. These were placed on the table on Shabbos. They were baked erev Shabbos. And certain incense was placed on the table. And when the incense then would be taken and brought to the altar, then the breads were given to the kohanim to be eaten. This was the shulchan. Then the Torah tells us of the menorah. This was a great candlestick that was built out of gold. That had a center candle, and then three branches coming out on each side. So altogether there were 7 candles. This was out of the candle, the fuel that was used was oil. And this was pure gold. And this was lit every day, even on Shabbos. It was lit in the afternoon, before sunset. And it would light, stay lit all day, all night. And in the morning, the Kohen would come, and he would cleanse it, would put in new wicks, would take out the old oil, and put in new oil. This was the menorah. There was another vessel, which is not mentioned in this parsha. It's mentioned a little later. That was the Mizbeach, the altar. Mizbeach Hazov, an altar which was made of gold. It was also known as the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the inner altar, because there was also an outer altar. And also it was known as the Mizbeach HaKheus, the altar for incense, because incense was allowed to be brought only on this altar. Then the Torah tells us how the structure of the Mishkan itself should be made. The structure of the Mishkan itself was made out of atzei shittim, ondim, great wooden beams that stood up next to each other. Now, here the Chazal bring out this point, that Klal Yisrael were commanded to build the Mishkan when they were in the desert. When did this take place? It took place the day after Yom Kippur, the first year of the going out of Mitzrayim. Because when they went out of Mitzrayim, so in the third month they came to Har Sinai. There they received the Torah. Moshe went up to the mountain for 40 days. He came down. There was the episode of the golden calf, which the Torah brings later. He judged the people. He broke the luchos. He went back up to the mountain. He stayed an additional 40 days, and then a third 40 days. So he came down again on Yom Kippur. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the second luchos, and he forgave the people. The next day, Moshe commanded the people to start in the building of the Mishkan. So the building of the Mishkan took place after Yom Kippur, and it was completed in Kislev. So it took a few months. There was a Tishrei, part of Tishrei, Cheshvan, and Kislev. Because I'll tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them not to erect the Mishkan in Kislev, but wait till Nisan. So So it was erected the following Nisan. So 1 year after they left Mitzrayim, 1 year less 2 weeks, because they left on the 15th of Nisan, it was erected on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That was the Hakomas HaMishkan, the erection of the Mishkan and the Miluim, the inauguration, which the Torah tells us about later. The Medrash tells us that why did Kosh Baruch Hu want to wait for Nisan? Because that was the month in which Yitzchok Avinu was born. Yitzchok was born, Isaac was born. And Yitzchok was actually the foundation, the pillar of the service of the Mishkan, because the Mishkan centered around korbanei sacrifices. And Yitzchok was the sacrifice, he was the one who was just about sacrificed on Har HaMoriah. The Medrash also tells us that Kislev had a complaint against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because naturality should have been erected then. It was a great simcha, a great chantuk, but the Mishkan was erected. So Kislev came with a complaint. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Olai l'shalem, I owe you a debt, and I'll pay it back to you. And later on, many generations later on, when the Greek Empire invaded Yerushalayim, Yetimu es ha'hekel, and they contaminated and made impure everything that was in the Beis HaMikdash, and a new Chanukas HaMizbeach, a new purification and anointment of the altar took place through the Chashmonoim and through Yehuda Maccabee during the time of Hanukkah. So this was in Kislev. So this was the debt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu paid back to Kislev, that there would be this yontif for Kislev also. Now the Chazal asked that where did this take place? In the Midbar, in the desert. How did Klal Yisrael have all of this material? Right, we understand the gold and the silver and the copper they had from Egypt. Because as we learned in the last parashas, that when they went out of Egypt, by Nachshavas Mitzrayim, they took the wealth of Mitzrayim with them. And also from the sea, in the Red Sea, the Egyptians came to fight with all types of gold and silver. They were ornamented. And this the sea washed all to the shores. So they had all of these materials. But where did they get the cedars from? And as we see, the cedars were very, 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 very large. Where did they get this from? So the Chazal tell us that Yaakov Avinu, when he left Eretz Yisrael, he came down to Mitzrayim, he saw with this prophecy that Kodesh Baruch Hu will come and tell the people to go out of Egypt and to build the Mishkan. And he knew how the Mishkan was to be constructed. He knew they would need work. So therefore, before going down to Mitzrayim, he took cedar trees, little trees, from Eretz Yisrael and took them down to Mitzrayim. And he planted them in Goshen, which was the section where Yaakov and his family were staying. He commanded his children that when you leave, you must cut these trees and take them with you. So we see the from many places in the Mishkan that we're dealing here with very, very deep concepts. That there are sources in every part of the Mishkan, every major part and every minor part, every detail. Great sources as to just why and wherefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded each us on each thing. Now, on this that we just mentioned, we see that actually then the wood, which was the actual foundation and the structure, the spine of the Mishkan, came from Eretz Yisrael. And it was through Yaakov Avinu. And the rabbis teach us that just like Yaakov Avinu was the one who held the Klal Yisrael together, because he was the third of the order, and we are called after him, his name was Yisrael. So it was destined that he should bring the wood that would hold the Mishkan together. And it goes even further, that there's a Targum Yonason that mentions that the wood that Yaakov brought was not just any wood from Eretz Yisrael, but it was the wood from the Eishel Avraham. That in the earlier parishes, when Avraham came to Eretz Yisrael, so it said that he planted an Eishel, he planted a pardes, a vineyard, an orchard, planted trees in order to do chesed, in order to do good to the orchid. Travelers would come He would have a pundit, he would have a lodging place for them, he would give them to eat, and he would teach them about Kodesh Baruch Hu, the creation of the world. So these were the trees that were brought. The Mishkan, the structure of the Mishkan, was this wood, these woods were standing, and this formed the walls. And there were gold foundations for them. And then, there was a roof placed over the Mishkan. The Torah tells us that the roof was made out of Sheish Moshezor Schelis Varagomon Vesalashon. It was made out of wool, which was, again, this blue wool, this purple wool, scarlet, and linen. And Kruvim Masei Choshev Tasei Son. And in this material was woven various beautiful pictures of the animals, for example, the lion, the eagle, and so forth. And this was the roof of the Mishkan, and it draped over the sides. So we can see it was very colorful. We had blue wool, we had white linen, we had scarlet wool, we had purple wool, and with these krugim, the engraving of these, the weaving of these images. Then, the Torah tells us, on top of that roof and that covering was made a second one. That was made from goat's hair. And then on top of that covering was made another covering. And this is a question, a disagreement as to if the Torah says in Pasuk Yud Dalet, "Shmei Skor Bobo Sisa Mitzvah Loyal Eres Elim Adomim or Mitzvah Eres Tefoshim El Mol," that you should make another covering, which seems to be another two coverings. So one opinion is it was another two coverings, and these coverings were made from the ram skins, which were dyed red, and the fourth covering was made from the tekoshi, from the this tachash, this animal that was created especially for the Mishkan, the animal of many colors. Another opinion is that it was only a third covering, it was not a third and fourth, and half was made of one material and the other half was made of another material. So you see that it was very, very colorful, the whole Mishkan. And each detail in the measurement was perfect. And Rashi brings in this parasha, he says, "Mikan lunda here the Torah teaches us derech eretz. That a person should be particular when it comes to beauty. As you see in the building of the Mishkan, everything was exact and everything was beautiful. And all of the measurements, if someone will study through this, you don't have time to go through it in detail this evening, but if someone will study through it and with the Rashi's and with the Chazal's, sees that every inch and every amal and every tefach was measured with the utmost exactness and perfection, every color, every material. So we learn from here, Shiachasa Yefi. Now also, this roof, which was made of these materials, was divided more or less in the middle of the Mishkan. So it was made a section of two sections. And they were joined together by, where on one side, loops were made out of the material, and on the other side, crossing golden hooks were made. And this is how they were joined together. So when a person was in the Mishkan, so he would see the golden hooks coming across the top. The Medrash brings that in general the Mishkan represented a miniature world. Just like when one looks up at the sky, he sees all types of kerubim, all types of stars, when one would be in the Mishkan and he would look up at the top, he also would see this duplication of these stars. So it also gives us another insight that everything that dealt with the Mishkan somehow represented some force in the world. Then, the Torah tells us of the outer altar. There was another altar built, not in the Mishkan itself, but this was to be in the courtyard of the Mishkan. And this was the altar in which all of the korbanos, the sacrifices, were brought. Some were brought also on the inner one. But this was called the Mizbeach HaOlah, because the korban Olah was brought on this altar. And then there was a kevis, an incline, which went up to the altar. And also there was a kiyor v'kano, which is not mentioned in this parsha, but in a later parsha, a fountain, which the Kohanim, when they would come to do the avodah, to do the service, so they would be the kiddush adayim reglaim, they would sanctify their hands and their feet from this fountain. These were the basic vessels of the Mishkan. Then the Torah tells us the courtyard. There was a courtyard which went around the Mishkan itself. The Mishkan itself was not really that large. The Mishkan itself was 30 amos long, 10 amos wide. Which would mean it was about approximately 50 feet long, and maybe 15 or 20 feet wide. So it was not really that large, the Mishkan. Then there was a courtyard that went around it. The courtyard was larger. The courtyard, though, was made of poles with walls that had no roof. All of the vessels that we mentioned were in the Mishkan proper, except the outer altar and its incline and the fountain. The Mishkan itself was divided into two compartments. And this was known as the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadosh. As you came in, first there would be the area which was called the Kodesh, and that took up two-thirds of the Mishkan. And the last third was the Kodesh HaKadosh, the Holy of Holies. What separated these two chambers was the Kareches, curtains. In the Kodesh was the inner altar, the Shulchan, the table, and the menorah, the candles. In the Kodesh HaKadosh was the Oren HaKodesh, the Oren that held the Sefer Torah. Incidentally, Torah tells us, or the Chazal tells us, that a Beis HaKnesses, a Shul, is a Migdush Mi'at, is a miniature Beis HaMikdush. The Tefillah is being named Korbonis. Tefillah is that we say in the Beis HaKnesses, this is in the place of the sacrifices that were offered in the Beis HaMikdush. Therefore, the Chazal tells us that the Beis HaMikdush, the Beis HaKnesses, a shul, was built in various ways in which it resembled, in some manner, the Mishkan. This is why we find that when we come into a shul, we also have an Oren in the front to hold the Sefer Torah. There's a Kareches, a curtain over it, although there it was separating the two chambers. And you also find an air, a light. This was because of the menorah. And in the middle of the shul, you find the bima. The bima was to resemble the Mizbeach, the altar, to give it some semblance of the Mishkan. This, in very general terms, gives us a brief idea of the structure of the Mishkan. To get somewhat of a summary on this, let's go spend a few minutes in the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira writes as follows: Mitzvus Nasei Lasos Beis Lashem. One of the positive commandments of the Torah is to make a Beis Lashem, a house for Hashem, Muchan Liyos Makrivim by Korbones, the Kegig in Elo Shleish Pomim Bashom. The two purposes. One purpose, in order it should be a house where we can come and bring sacrifices to Hashem. Secondly, a place where we can come three times a year, because the Torah says, that three times a year every person should go up to see Hashem during the Yom Tov. And this is a positive commandment, as it states here, also the Midush. There's an odd parsha that you should make for me a sanctuary. From the Spanish potato, Mishkin Shosomesh Rabbeinu. In the Torah, the Rambam writes, are the details of the Mishkan and Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, we know that there was the Mishkan that Moshe made, and then we know the Beis HaMikdash that was in Yerushalayim. What's the link between the two? This Mishkan was in the desert. The Beis HaMikdash that was in Yerushalayim on Har HaBayis, which the Kesel Ma'arovi, the western wall, is the wall, not of the Beis HaMikdash itself, but it's the wall of the Har HaBayis, the wall of one of the outer chambers. And this was the Beis HaMikdash that we know was destroyed the first time by Babel, by the Babylonians, the second time by the Romans. And it was built the first time by Shlomo HaMelech. David designed it, and his son Shlomo built it. And the second time it was built by Ezra HaSefer. And in Yitz Hashem, the third time it will be built by the Melech HaMashiach, we made of Yomim. How is this linked with the Mishkan? So the Rambam writes, by Elohi Shor, Shenemar ki levose marato. This Mishkan was only temporary. But the Torah tells us, levose marato ela menucho. You have not yet come to your final inheritance and to your final place of rest. Therefore, a Mishkan was made in the desert, which was able to be assembled and taken apart in order that it should travel with Klal Yisrael. This Mishkan traveled with Klal Yisrael for many, many years, 40 years in the desert, and even for many, many years after going into Eretz Yisrael, until Eretz Yisrael was finally conquered and divided, and the people were settled. Because they had not yet come to their final inheritance and their final resting, place of rest. Kivan Shenichnas of HaOretz, now after the 40 years in the desert, when they came to Eretz Yisrael, Amir HaMishkan b'Gilgal Arbo Esrei Shona Shekif Shu Shecholko. They took Yeshua, Yeshua is the one who brought the people into the desert, into Eretz Yisrael, after the Torah, after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. So it took Yeshua 14 years to conquer Eretz Yisrael and to divide Eretz Yisrael. During those 14 years, the Mishkan was in one place, and this was in Gilgal. Misham ba'al ha-shila, u'bon ha-shem ba'i shel avonim, u'for shi'yiriyas ha-mishkan alo, v'hei u'leis ha-shem tikva. From there, the Mishkan was built in Shila. And there they made more of a permanent structure. Instead of using the walls which were made from the Atzei Shitim, the cedar wood, they used walls which were made of stone. It was all through the Novi, through the prophet. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. And Shin Samach Teshono Omar Mishkan Shilo. It stood there for 369 years. During the time of Shmuel, Hanovi. Ukeshemes Eli, Chora Bavol Anayv, Ubonashom Mikdash. And when Eli died, then it was destroyed. And again it was rebuilt in Nov. And when Shmuel died, Chorav of all lived Givai, it was destroyed, and again it was rebuilt in Givai. And that was the last place that it was before it was to come to its final resting place. You may know the Givai in Sheva B'chamishim Shon. It was 75 years in those places. So if we would add up all the years, it was 369 years in Shiloh, and 75 years in the other places. Well, how much would that be? 369 and 75. Who are good with the figures here? All right? Huh? And then 14 years in Gilgal. 458. And then 40 years in the desert. Huh? 498. So 498 years if the figures are correct, if the addition is correct. This means that the Mishkan lasted for 498 years. Then, even Shemid, then, at that time, this was during the time of David and Shlomo, and David, with the pasuk, where David said, "He, inei anechi yeshiv, v'beis arozim, I dwell in a castle made from the best materials."
And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's home is just a mishkan. And it was misfollowed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should allow him to build the permanent Beis HaMikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you won't build it, but your son will build it. The David is the one who found the exact place, because there is an exact place for the Beis HaMikdash, as we'll see in a minute, to the inch. David was the one who found it and designed it, and then he told his son that he will be the one who built it, and Shlomo the Beis HaMikdash came, and Shanim HaMikdash be Yerushalayim. So after these years, the Beis HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim. Once the Beis HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim, Nes Soru Kol HaMakim Es Kulam, Livnais Bohem Beis LaHashem U'Lahakri Ben Kol. Before the Beis HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim, so then we were allowed to have a Mishkan anywhere. This Mishkan could be anywhere, and we could bring korbanos. Once the Beis HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim and its proper site, then we were never allowed again to bring sacrifices or to do the Aveda to Hashem, which is done in the Mishkan, in any other place, but only there. Ein shom bais l'dori l'deri haderis el yishan u'bahar ha'ariyot. There is no place ever again for the Mishkan, which then was known as the Beis HaMikdash, except this place, Yerushalayim and Har HaMoriah. Shebo ne'emar vayomer David, zehu Beis Hashem Elokim, v'zeh mizbeach le'ela v'Yisrael. Ha'im ezeis minuchosi adi ad. This is what David says, that this is Beis Elokim, this is the place of the sacrifice, this is the resting place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's house for him. Now the binyan, Shebona Shleima, the Beis HaMikdash that Shleima built, was basically, in principle, the same as the Mishkan, but it was far more elaborate. It was a permanent structure. It was with stone, and it was far, far more elaborate. And so was the second Beis HaMikdash. And so the Beis HaMikdash that would be rebuilt when the Melech HaMashiach comes. But in principle, it followed the same pattern as the Mishkan that we are learning of now. Then the Rambam, in one paragraph, summarizes what we said. He says, "Eilah hein advarim shein ikar bebinyan habayis." These are the main principles of the Mishkan. In other words, in English, "Eisim be kodesh v'kodesh hakdosh." You make two sections. One is a kodesh, and one is kodesh hakdosh. And then there was a great entry hall before you went into this section. But this was only in the Beis HaMikdash, not in the Mishkan. The Shleish to Nikrayin Hekel. And all three of these are called the Hekel, which is all referred to as the Hekel. Then there was a Mechitza. There was a wall built around this. And then there was a wall built further around. And this was called the Kotzer, or in the Beis HaMikdash, this was called the Azor. V'hakol nikro mikdush, and all of this was referred to as the mikdush. Then the Rambam itemizes the seven main kelim which were used in the base, built for the base of mikdush, and these were what we mentioned. This was the altar for the ola, and the incline that went up to it, the kior and kame, the fountain for the Kahani, and its base, that's four. Now that's one, that's three. And then the Mizbeach, the inner altar, the candles, the menorah, and the Shulchan. And then the Oren HaKodesh. As we mentioned before, the outer altar, the incline, and the fountain. These were all in the chotzer, in the courtyard. But one entered the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdosh, he would enter from the east, and he would walk from east to west. The more west one went, the more kodesh, the more holy it became. As he entered into the Kodesh, This was the chamber now of the Mishkan proper. There he would be confronted with three kelim: the menorah on the south side. And if he was entering from east to west, so then the south would be to his left and north would be to his right. So the menorah would be on the south side, the shulchan, the table, would be on his right side, and in front of them, in the middle, would be the Mizbeach HaKetores, the altar of the incense. The Gemara tells us there were reasons why everything was in its particular place. It says that the shulchan was the symbol of wealth, of physical wealth, just like the table of a person. This is the place of his panos, of his sustenance, of physical sustenance. So this was the source of the symbol of physical wealth. This was on the north side, because the Chazal tell us that physical wealth comes from the north. And when God created the world, he created the source of physical wealth from the north. It says if somebody wants to become wealthy, he should dive towards the north. On the south side is the source of Koch, of wisdom. In the menorah, which was light, and light is the symbol of Torah, or Torah, the light of Torah. Therefore, it was placed in the sun. Alsin b'seicha azoret bulim. In the azoret, the great courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash, or the courtyard of the Mishkan, there were certain boundary lines. Ad kam Yisrael, ad kam l'kahanim. So far, could an Israel go? No further? So far a Kohen could go, and then no further, and only those who could go who were in a state of purification or special purification or were doing the avodah of the service. The Kodesh HaKadoshim, which was the inner chamber, and there was the Oren HaKodesh, there no man was ever allowed to go, except one exception, the Kohen Gadol. This was Aaron, or his children afterwards, who would be selected as the Kohen Gadol. And only on Yom HaKippur. Only on Yom HaKippur. The Rambam writes, in regards to Perek Sheni, in regards to the Mizbeach, the outer altar, HaMizbeach Mekeimei Mechuvim B'Yosef. The place of the outer altar was very, very exact. On Harabais, by the base of English in Yerushalayim. Ve'ein mishanim ha'seimim keim el'ailo. A person is never allowed to change this place, even the smallest measure. Shnem ha'zeh mizbach l'ailo Yisrael. Why? Because on that place was ne'akad Yitzchok Avinu. Shnem ha'alech l'chol ha'eretz ha'mariyo. Shnem ha'bedivre ha'yomim. Ve'chal shlem ha'libnes is beis Hashem Yerushalayim ha'har ha'mariyo. When Kodesh Baruch Hu told Abraham, go, lech lecho, el ha'oretz asher ha'arecho, el hara Moriah, go to the mountain of Moriah and sacrifice Yitzchok. This was the mountain which we were commanded to do the Beis HaMikdash on. As it states by Shlema, that he built the Beis HaMikdash and Har Moriah. And we were taught that the place of the altar is the same place where Abraham sacrificed Yitzchak. So this is why we are commanded to have the altar there, and we must not change this place. Then the Rambam goes further. Umesedes miyar hakol shamokim shabonu beidavu v'shnema amizbeach begeiren argona hu amokim shabonu beavraham amizbeach otter av Yitzchak hu amokim shabonu beineach. Not only was this the place where Abraham built the altar in order to sacrifice Yitzchok, but this was the place where Noach built an altar. When he came out of the ark after the great flood, Torah said that he built an altar and he made sacrifices. And this is the place where Cain and Hevel, the sons of Adam HaRishon, of the first man, they built an altar to make sacrifices. And this is the place where Adam The first man was created, he made sacrifices, he built an altar. This is where he built an altar. U'misham nivro. And this is the place where Adam HaRishon was created from. Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took offer min Adam. He took soil from the land and he made Adam. Where was the land he took this from? This was from this place. Omru Chachamim Adam Mimokan Kaparazin Nivra. The Chachamim say that man was created from the same place where atonement will be brought to him. We bring korban and sacrifices. This is the place where he was created from. Therefore, we must be very careful, Rambam writes, never to change the place of the altar. Here also we see the great sources for all of this. One more point. The most holiest part of the base of English, which was the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This is where the Orem HaKodesh was kept. Even Ha'isa the Kodesh HaKadoshim B'Marom She'aleha Ha'ya Orem Munah. There was a certain stone, it was called the Even HaShasir. A certain stone, this is on Hara Moriah, this is on Hara Bais, where the site of the Mikdosh is today. Unfortunately, it's not a Jewish hands today. There's a certain stone, it's called Even HaShasir, and we were commanded there to place the Orem HaKodesh, in the Kodesh HaKodesh. Chazal tell us, when HaKodesh Baruch Hu created the world, he created this stone, and from there created the rest of the world. This is the significance of this stone. In front of the Orem, we mentioned what was in the Orem. In front of the Orem is the staff, is a bottle, a flask of Mon, and Mate Arim, the staff of Arim. The parashas we learned, the Baruch Hu gave Mon to the people. So he told Moshe to take some of this Mon and preserve it for generations. In order that the people should see what you ate in the desert. Malach and Baruch Hu was able to sustain you in the desert. So this is placed there, and Mate Hara in the staff of Aaron. When there was the dispute between Moshe and Korah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu there was a dispute over the kahuna, who should be the kahani. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them all to plant their staffs in the ground, and the one which blossoms, they will be the true Kahani, and it was the staff of Aaron that blossomed. So it's commanded that this staff should also be placed in front of the Orem. The Eisha Bona Shlemas Abayis, when Shlema Amelach and Solomon built the Beis HaMikdash, Yodah Shesefer Lechorev, he knew that eventually it would be destroyed. Bona by Mokam, he didn't want the Orem Cholilo to fall into foreign hands. So Bona by Mokam, Lignes by Orem. The matter, the Matmanias Amukes, Rav Kalkolis. So he built, with his Chochmah, he built a place where the Orem could be concealed. Deep into the subterranean caverns of the earth, he built a system, a network of tunnels, caverns, in which, when necessary, the Orem would sink and it would be concealed. And during the time Yeshua Amelech, when he saw that the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed, and they would capture, and they would take everything. And this is what happened, that Babel went and they took everything. And later on, the Romans took. The fact is, in Rome, is the arch which was built when the Roman emperors came back from the destruction of Yerushalayim and viewed out the stone of the arch, shows the Roman soldiers carrying back from their conquest the spoils of the Beis HaMikdash. Shows them carrying the menorah and other parts of the Beis HaMikdash. The fact is that when various people now try to duplicate exactly how the menorah was, we don't know exactly. We have the design in the Torah, but there's still margin for error. So one of the authoritative sources by many historians what is engraved on that arch.
And it is believed that a lot of the spoils of the Beis Hamikdash
possibly are still in the Vatican.
Because it was Rome that last destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. It said it's reputed that the Vatican has great treasures for various conquests of Europe or other countries. And they also have areas where they don't belong. So it's possible a lot of the spoils of the Beis Hamikdash could be there. But at any rate, Shlomo HaMelech didn't want that this should happen to go on after this. So during the time of Yeshua HaMelech, Tziva v'gonzu b'mokim shebonu Shlomo. So he commanded that the Oren be concealed. What Shlomo had made for it. And it was concealed, and it was never found. V'gonzu yimei mati Aron, but since then it's v'shemen ha-mishpah. And together it was concealed with the staff of Aron and the mon. And also the shemen ha-mishpah, this was the oil which was used for anointing. And they have never been found. Even when they rebuilt the second base of English, this was the first base of English, even when they rebuilt the second base of English, Ezra, Hashofer, rebuilt the second base of English, it was rebuilt without an Aron HaKodesh. Because it was never found. Somewhere under the site of the base of English is the Aron HaKodesh. Its place was on the stone, the Eben Shesia. And the Eben Shesia, as we mentioned, the structure of some of the insights into the Mishkan and the Mishkan. If we'll go a little deeper into this, Mor Emin and Abbeis says, Eshkechan Migdosh Dikri Mishkan and Mishkan Dikri Migdosh. We find that the Samitush was given two names. Was given the name of Mishkan, like we see in our parsha, and was given the name of Mikdush. For example, the Masati Mishkoni B'Sechachem. Our pasuk says, the Osuli Mikdush, B'Shachanti B'Sechom, it's called Mikdush, and then many other places it's called Mishkon. So it's given these two names, Mishkon and Mikdush. Now, from these two names we can understand a lot. What is the whole purpose of the Mikdosh and the Mishkan? The word Mishkan comes from the word Shochen, to dwell. And like the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, make for me a Mikdosh b'shochanti b'seichon, that I may dwell within you. So therefore it's called Mishkan because it's a dwelling place of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to dwell. The word Mikdosh means sanctified, kodosh, hafrosha, hadol, to separate. Now actually, these are contradictory, these two words. Because mikdosh means something which is far apart from a person. It's above a person. Mishkan means a dwelling place. So actually, it's contradictory. We find both qualities in the Mishkan. It's a Mishkan that a Kodesh Baruch Hu dwells. On the other hand, we know there's many halachos, for example, in the Torah it says, Vazor HaKoreg Yimos, that anyone who comes too close where he's not supposed to, is guilty of death penalty. Or it states, as Mikdoshi Tiro'u, that you shall fear my place in the Mikdosh. We know that when we go to Eretz Yisrael, we know we're not supposed to go beyond certain points. Not allowed to. It says, someone who is Tomei, who is impure, is not allowed to come to such a place. So we see it's Kodosh, it's separated from man, and on the other hand it's Mishkan, the dwelling place. Both qualities are there because Kodesh Baruch Hu said to build the Mishkan that I am. Ha'or Shebor HaKodesh Baruch Hu Yemishan Orim Seifu Ma'vi Be'mi Seifu Elam HaSeifu. This light that Hashem created, it was so great that a person could see from one end of the world to the other. It seems from here that the reason why our sight is limited is because of the lack of sufficient light. If
there will be a greater light, we will be able to see even further. This is what it seems to manage. So the light which Hashem created at the beginning of the world was so great and so intense that a person could see endlessly. But he saw that the world, when he saw that there would be such generations that would come to try to destroy the world, he saw the world was not worth it. So therefore he concealed it. He concealed it for the righteous to enjoy in the next world. Then the Rebbe says, there were many Briyas, many creations that Kodesh Baruch Hu created, and the world was not worthy for it, and he should have concealed it, but he didn't conceal it. Not like the light. Didn't conceal it. He kept it here for his honor. What were they? One is gold. Reza says, oh, gold. Tov v'gedola cholak HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'ilam ha'azor. Great, a great goodness HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the world when he gave gold. And then the Midrash goes through all, tells us all different things about gold. And the Midrash says, really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have conceived it. It was too good for the world. But because of Tfeidei, because of his honor, that gold had to be used for the Mishkan, therefore he did not conceal it. Incidentally, we see from here that gold has an intrinsic value. You know, there's a whole discussion between the economists, the world economists, and the value of gold, because there's really a world demand for it, but because it actually has an intrinsic value. As a man, she's concerned that gold is something that it always was special and that always could be special. And it was really too good for the world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu left it because it was needed for the Mishkan. Then the Medrash tells us the same thing with these arozim. There's 7 different types of gold were used in the Mishkan. Then it tells us the arozim, sivrim. It tells us there are 24 different types called dal mini arozim. There were 24 different types of cedar trees. And there were 7 of the best. And these also were too good for the world. But because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it for the Mishkan, then he left it. Now, what is it telling us here? The explanation is the fact that they were too good for the world means that they were on a higher level. They were a higher level. But still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu retained it because he needed it for the Mishkan. This is telling us that the Mishkan physically was built from physical material, but that material was of a physical material that was slightly higher than the physical world. And again for this reason, because this was to be the point that would be the harbor, Bezer and Amasis would be the point that would bring the two worlds together. The hour is getting late. Let's just conclude now. Let's just conclude with one more point. That is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command Klal Yisrael to build the Mishkan at this point? The Chazal tell us, because Hashem comes to live with Klal Yisrael because he gave them the Torah. The force that brings Hashem into this world is the Torah. In these parshas, we're going to be giving the Torah. And the Medrash brings in Parshas Lamed Gimel of Ches. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Moshe. He said, Torah tziva lona Moshe, Morosha ki l'shak. The Torah was commanded to Moshe. Morosha ki l'shak, it is an inheritance to the congregations of Yaakov. So the Medrash says, Al tipele meirosha ele meirosha. This does not refer to inheritance, but this refers to ma'irosa. Ma'irosa is someone who is betrothed. Ma chosin zeh, kol zman shalei mosa arusosa. Just like a chosin. Until they are married, hu vihi prad dura lebeis chomo. Until they are married, even though they are betrothed, they still both go back to their own homes. Mishanoso, but once they are married, Hareyovihobo Eslo, not only does the Kala come to live with the Chosom once they're married, but her father now also comes to his house. Kacha chele mitna Torah Israel, until Torah was given to Israel. Moshe all Elohim. Torah tells us that Moshe had to go up to Har Sinai. Until Torah was given to Israel, Moshe had to go to Akash Bor. Says that Moshe all Elohim, Hashem summoned Moshe to come up to the mountain. Moshe all Elamor, Moshe went up into the upper world. Moshe nitna Torah, but once the Torah was given, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, V'osa v'mikdash v'shachanti v'sekom, make a home for me that I might live with. So what the Medrash is telling us, that you have a chosin and gala, but they both go back to their own homes to live. Once they are married, not only does the gala come to live by the chosin, but the father also comes to stay. Before HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah to Israel, so then Moshe had to go up to Har Sinai to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah to Israel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, V'osu v'mikdash v'shachanti v'sekom, build a home for me that I might dwell with you. The Medrash tells us in another place, Ki lekach tov nosati l'cha. Torah is called, Hashem said, lekach tov. It is a good purchase which I have given to you. So the Medrash explains, why is it a good purchase? Lekach tov. Why is it such a good purchase? Because usually, when a seller gives something over to a buyer, so he gives the article. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over the Torah to Israel, not only did he give the article, but the seller also went in the deal. And therefore, it's a lekach tov nasati lecha. Because before you had Torah, so then the Torah belonged to me. Now that you have Torah, not only does the Torah belong to you, but I also belong to you. Because I cannot separate myself from Torah. Therefore he commanded, also the Midrash v'shachan to save. So what the Midrash is telling us, is teaching us, that this force that brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world is the force of Torah. The fact that Torah was given to Israel, and there's Torah by Israel, this brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why we see that the centrality of the Mishnah was the Oran HaKodesh. The Oran HaKodesh was the Torah. This is what we say the Torah was kept with Moshe wrote in the Luchos. And when Moshe would go to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Eihel Moed, this was the Mishnah, he would hear the voice of Hashem coming through the Krumi and through the Oran. This was the joining place between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here is the ultimate repetition. This gives us a basis into what the Basamikdash and what the Mishkan is. I've mentioned there are many parshas that continue the various aspects of it. Today we don't have the Basamikdash, unfortunately, in Mishkan. But the Chazal tell us, Mishachora Beis HaMikdash, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Motz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ele V'Dal HaAmashim Tevat, Shoteinu V'Vat. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was exiled from his place. He had to look for a new home. So the Chazal tell us, Mishachora Beis HaMikdash, the Motz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ele V'Dal HaAmashim Tevat,
learn the Tanya of the Beis HaMikdash, Kodesh Baruch Hu could reveal himself in the Beis HaMikdash. He could reveal himself through all of the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash. All of the forces of the Beis HaMikdash, this was the revelation of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The menorah, the light that came from the menorah, the wealth that came from the shulchan, from the table. These were the forces of a Kodesh Baruch Hu revealing himself in this world. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Israel went into Golos. Why? Because they had to go. And when he had to look for a place, he could only find the Dalai Lama Shel Anochi. Where did he find the home? He found the home in the four cubits of where Torah was held. So this would remain HaKadosh Baruch Hu's home until the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be able to reveal himself again through the Beis HaMikdash.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085 and via post at PO Box 66226 Broadway 2020 Johannesburg, South Africa.